Sarah, can you take the roll?
Sure. So it's 7:34. Tom Cargi?
Here.
Dan Hollenbach? We'll come back to Dan. Kathleen?
Here.
Don Mizgala?
Here. Sorry, I muted.
Okay. Ron Lamar?
Here.
John Rieger?
Here.
Annette Madden? Maybe no Annette tonight. Ingrid Liu?
Here.
Catherine Christmas?
Here. Ignore that other one of me. I'll try to get it off.
Joel Luking?
Here.
Lori Gillard?
Here.
Jack Flynn?
Here.
Julie Armstrong?
Here.
Marta Kosber?
Here.
And Dan Hollenbach?
Here.
Okay.
Thanks, Sarah. Next up is approval of the last meeting's minutes. Can I get a motion?
Motion.
Approve the minutes?
Approved.
And now I need a second.
Second.
Sarah, if you call the roll.
Tom Cargi.
Yeah.
Tom, you're muted.
I said yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Dan Hollenbach.
Here.
Kathleen Hughes.
One more time, Kathleen, you were muted before.
Here. So muted. Can you hear me?
So we're voting for the approval of the meeting minutes. So Don Mizgala?
Yes. Approve.
Ron Lamar?
Yes.
John Rieger?
Yes.
Annette absent. Ingrid Liu?
Yes.
Catherine Christmas?
Yes.
Joel Luking?
Yes.
Lori Gillard?
Yes.
Jack Flynn?
Yes.
Julie Armstrong?
Yes.
And Marta Kosber?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next up is the reports from the subcommittees. Before we do that, though, I want to thank everybody for the work you did in preparing for tonight's meeting. I know it's a kind of a pain, and I've gone through them too. I just didn't do it to quite the level you did. So thank you. I do appreciate it. So does any of the committees have anything to report?
Tom, just real quick, I just want to note that we don't have any public comment.
Sorry, Sarah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, you had mentioned to me that you had something you wanted to tell the committee. Joel Luking? Yeah. Nothing from any of the three subcommittees?
No, because we broke down into our other committee meetings. I think sub.
So let's just open the discussion on the material we received today. Or last Thursday, I guess. Anyone want to make any comments or suggestions?
Wait, what material we received on Thursday?
The packet.
Oh.
The breakdown of the comments and
Okay.
The maps and stuff.
The attachment for this week, okay.
I have a question. The one labeled results from the DEER survey says, out of the 400 surveyed, what question was this? It was in the packet, and it was labeled results from the DEER survey.
Do you have a page number from the packet?
12 and 13. On my, as it showed up when I printed it. under the packet.
Gotcha.
So who submitted that and what question was this referring to?
So I think I can answer that. In the memo, which is page 6, so it's the comments are from 1 to 401 for question 15, which was assigned to this communication subcommittee for analysis. So that was my understanding of what those.
That's right.
That document.
Yeah. So all of us had each subcommittee had 400 question or comments to go through. These were the communication subcommittee's comments that Annette and Ingrid put together. I mean, we all contributed, but they were the main. And then we passed that to Joel and Julie. I don't know what they did, if they did anything with it with their subcommittee.
I just wanted to know what it was. So this is just number 1 through 400 of question 15.
Out of 1,200 questions, that's right.
Out of 1,200 questions.
1,200 are comments.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify what that exactly was, because it's just a partial, obviously, of the
yep.
of the whole thing. Okay. Brings us up to another point about I just want to know what that I didn't understand what that meant. I think all of us, when we met in our subgroup, have a hard time. We should probably have somebody outside of this committee put a report together, because the results from these surveys, you know, we have all this qualitative research, which is what these are, these questions, and we're trying to quantify them, and you can't do that. I mean, that's not how that kind of research works. So we either need somebody outside of this committee who does surveys to put a report together for us on what this data means. That's my recommendation.
Kathleen?
I was not at the last meeting, but I just want to throw something out there, and forgive me if this was discussed at the last meeting, but you know, we surveyed back in August, we're in not a great wave of COVID. And I think since we started the survey, you know, more information has come out on the village's financial condition. And I just feel like we are looking at a really different world right now. And any decision or recommendation, I'm just wondering, I would think it might be prudent to put this off and keep the survey as it is. But rather than us break down every little point, issue, comment, data analysis, I just don't think this is the environment that we should be doing this. And things have changed so much since we started this committee. I think it might make sense to talk about, you know, punting this and keeping the survey the same, redoing it in the fall, you know, in the spring, summer, or fall.
Well, my term is up in April, so I guess that's fine with me.
Yeah, no, I don't.
You don't like the committee?
I mean,
no, I'm joking.
I don't think we should get rid of all this data and all this work that we've put into this. We've been here every night. We've put a lot of hours into this, and we cannot throw this away. I mean, I understand that conditions have changed, but Kathleen, we've been here for every single meeting, and I'll put a lot of hours, and there's a lot of people that are going to be very upset if we do that.
Lori?
So I happened to be, I was going through all this stuff, and then I was looking at what we were charged as a committee to do, and I just want to read what it says. Charge, the committee shall draft a community survey and review results, which is what we're doing now. Research alternative ways to manage and reduce deer conflicts. I don't think we've really researched anything to any great degree. Plan at least one community forum to educate residents on the importance of deer management program, then prepare the report. So I feel like we're missing the middle section. So I kind of think, I think we have great results and we had great participation, but I think we really need to, you know, we can go through and really analyze this stuff, but it's not going to all happen tonight because we have to still, we really need to, if Kathy Aducci came to the meeting and said, hey, what'd you do about this? It's like, you know, we hadn't even addressed those things. So I don't know what you're all thinking, but I feel like we haven't completed our tasks.
Well, Lori, the community forum, obviously, given COVID, is kind of impractical. I mean, I guess we could do it on Zoom, but I'm not sure how effective it would be. You raised valid points. I mean, we did have that if there was anyone interested in exploring alternatives, that option was certainly open.
We haven't done it, though. This is a task. I really think to do our due diligence as a committee, we have a responsibility to fulfill these things. I just think we should, you know, give it respect what we've been given to do and do it. And you know what? It's not about just about COVID. It's about doing a good job with this. Because you know something? I think there's a lot of different feelings out there, but I do think we can come up with some solutions. But it's something that we have to give thought to.
Have you done any research on alternate solutions? I mean, I've read a couple of pieces.
To tell you the truth, I just came across this today when I was going through everything. And that's when I realized we haven't done it. And none of us have talked about it. So it's not just me not looking at it.
Lori, I wasn't suggesting that. I mean, I've read a couple papers online and they all kind of say the same things, but in many instances, they're impractical in my view. I mean, you guys know what my position is. I think Ingrid and then Kathleen.
I think that was one of the, I was going to say that I think that one of the tasks that was assigned to the communications committee is to bring back to trustees a plan to educate or to provide information that would be useful that maybe, you know, regardless of the results of the survey, needs to be part of what this committee is supposed to do. So I agree with you on that. I think we were so focused on trying to find the pulse of the community to see where the survey would go. And it seems to be 50-50, which now we're stuck with, you know, what do we do with that information, right?
Well, let me ask, is anyone willing to look into the issues that Lori raised? Kathleen?
It's a good point, Lori. And it was my recollection though that and maybe it's just some research too that I did on my own, but that we did go through the time you kind of educated us on some of the alternatives that whether it be public commenters called about or people commented in the surveys that we said, that's not possible. I mean, I don't know. And maybe that's something that someone types up and we just kind of review and approve. Cause I thought we were all on the same page in knowing that sterilization, not only is it not very feasible, it's not permitted in Illinois. Relocation is not a solution. Fencing isn't a solution.
Right.
There doesn't seem to be any alternatives other than.
We had the IDNR on. We had a meeting and he went through all this with us.
Right. So I think we've already done that.
I thought so too.
Realized or not.
Topics have all been covered.
One point just to Kathleen, that actually sterilization is permissible, but it's prohibitively expensive. So I was wrong on that. I was corrected last week or last meeting. So okay. Sterilization is an option, but it's an impractical option given the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody over here, Ingrid, I think you had your hand up. Catherine.
Well, I had mentioned a couple times through this whole process about looking into garden choices, things like that, which I've done in my own home successfully, and traffic solutions, particularly on the area of Thatcher, where there are the most car accidents, Thatcher near Division. And it just seems like every time the conversation says, well, it's just call or no call. But I disagree with that. I actually agree that we should be looking, and especially because a lot of the people who want to call actually also want to do other things. So it seems like there is reason to look into those things. The way that the committee process was going, it seemed like the first question was call or no call. And then if we're culling, why bother do anything else, seemed to be sort of the tone I've picked up on, but I could be wrong. And if we don't call, then obviously we do want to try something else. But it seemed like those options were pushed aside pretty early, the garden. I mean, because I'd mentioned early on even doing like a matching thing like we do with the sidewalk squares, where if you have problems with your garden with a deer, let's do a cost-based thing with Good Earth Greenhouse to help people replace some of their plants. I mean, you know, it's worked for me. I don't see why it couldn't work at least somewhat for some people. But yeah, it seems like that never really got any speed around here. So I'm still interested in working on gardening things, but if there's no point if we're not going to do it.
No, again, guys, I think, so I'm just trying to relay. I certainly hope that I not deterred anyone from offering these solutions. I mean, I'm just trying to think of a timeline of this. Most of our first couple meetings were focused on preparing the survey. And I think the last two meetings have just been reviewing the survey. I mean, yeah. I don't know that we've made any decisions per se on how to proceed. I just think, given the bulk of what was before us was sort of digesting the survey. So again, if
anyone, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, again, Laura, your point's well taken. I guess I looked at it, I think early on, Sarah sent you some stuff from various other people that have done this. So there are other alternatives to doing this. So it's not even that difficult research. It's basically, you know, other people have already done the research for us. So I think, Lori, that can be accomplished if someone wants to take on the task. I mean,
I'll do it. But I'll tell you something. This is important because whether we call or not, we have to offer this as an alternative to show that we really were fairly, it was like unbiased, and we're trying to present all the options. So I just think it's important just to do a good job of just covering everything. So I'm happy to do it. You know, Catherine, I'll probably talk to you a little bit since you're already involved in doing some of this, but I think it would be it would just be a thorough report. That's all I'm saying. So
And Lori, good source material for you is in that first packet of stuff that went, I think it was in April. There are a whole bunch of things attached to it that were, I could be wrong, but I believe there was a report from Ann Arbor and someplace in Wisconsin. And then there was, I think Cornell School of Agriculture or something had some. There were a number of reports in there that I looked at when we were first discussing this on the board of alternate solutions. And so that might be, if you wanted to sort of cobble something together from that, I'd be fine with that. Again, I have no objection to it. I'm perfectly fine with that.
I know what you're saying. I agree with it, but I think we need to make it more specific for River Forest. So just to find out what other options are, because I just think to get buy-in for the whole community, we just have to look at it all. So, and it doesn't have to take a huge amount of time. I will go over, I'll even call Whole Foods, but Good Earth, and talk to them about it.
Tom, this is Joel, I apologize. Don't have a video option. To start out, last spring, the multidisciplinary had done some research and we had identified a very helpful Illinois DNR website, if you folks recall. Mm-hmm. And maybe my committee, subcommittee mates may recall that, but it had a number of alternative, you know, solutions to dealing with deer issues. And so we had contributed that early on, and I think it's in one of the minutes, and I can certainly dig up that website. So I just wanted to reinforce the fact that, you know, we had and continue to look for all possible solutions to these concerns. And we do have some good resources that we developed as early as last spring. Mm-hmm. And at some point in the meeting, I'd like to share what I thought was a very important phone conversation I had in late November with the senior wildlife biologist at Cook County Forest Preserve.
Now is as good time as any, Joel.
To finally try to get some true professional objective opinion about the condition of the forest as it borders River Forest, and a professional opinion about the deer size and where it is. So I spoke to a gentleman by the name of Chris Anker, and this is on November 30th, and I've got his mobile number. Anyone else in the committee who would like to reach him should feel welcome to contact him. But I said, look, you know, I identified myself. Said I was on a deer committee with the Village of River Forest. I said, we're pursuing all types of solutions and options to deal with deer concerns in the village. I said, what is the Cook County Forest Reserve District opinion on the deer herd within the Thatcher Woods? And he said, beyond a doubt, no question, there are far too many deer in the woods here. And I said, has there been any detailed research project that's been done? And he said, no, not recently. And he said, quite frankly, one really is not necessary. He said, just based on visual observations, he said, the browse line of Thatcher Woods is so well-defined and severe that he says, without a doubt, he knows that the carrying capacity of the forest here is greatly outweighed by the number of deer that are in the woods.
Can you explain what the browse line is?
The browse line is typically anywhere from 4 to 6 feet off the forest floor of where most of the vegetation, particularly on trees and shrubs, is gone because of deer herbivory, where the deer have eaten the vegetation, particularly on branches. And I mean, it is evident here at Thatcher Woods. And so I went on further to ask him about if there have been any studies that have been done concerning the migration of deer among the various forests in the Cook County system. And he said there have been radio collar research projects done. And he said what they found is that the deer typically stay within their own forest areas. He said during the rut season and particularly the late fall, he said the bucks will leave their immediate forest areas, but then they will return. So that was also very important information to get as far as an understanding of, you know, if so many deer were to be removed from Thatcher Woods, could that change overnight with a whole flow of other deer immediately filling their places? And that's not what their research has shown. So the deer are essentially sedentary, and this is actually consistent with my working with Wisconsin DNR in Door County with deer research that I've done with a local wildlife biologist up there as well. But I just wanted to share that information with everyone. And I said, well, why can't there be some research done in Thatcher Woods or more research? And he said, it's simply a funding issue. He said they've currently committed themselves to resources to be allocated to other areas in the Cook County Forest Preserve District. Unfortunately, not Thatcher Woods. They just don't have the money right now. But quite frankly, he said that there really is no research that's necessary beyond that to show that and indicate that, you know, there are far too many deer than that forest can, the forest here can truly support and hold. So if anyone would like to follow up with Chris, he was very engaging, very friendly, very open. I'd be happy to, you know, provide his mobile number, you know, if others on the committee would like to speak to him. But again, he said, without a doubt, there's clearly a deer problem in Thatcher Woods and that there are far too many than the woods can support. And he said that that's largely why we, you know, we see as many deer as we do. He said it's not a natural population. He said there are no predators. He said the population is gone completely out of control.
Catherine?
Oh, thanks for that, Joel. That's super helpful. One thing I feel like would be really helpful given that, and I had a conversation with Tim Pruse again about just deer management, and just I had some questions about calling and things like that. And to your point just now, Joel, and this is, I feel like it'd be good to get some of these guys on a phone call again, because he said that we can't call this winter anyway because the Forest Preserve has not done the research, which, as Joel, you just suggested that they're not doing the research because they don't have the money. But the fact that they're not doing the research when they know that we would pay for the call, I find, and Tim says he's never heard of that being done before, where a village takes the entire financial responsibility of paying for a Forest Preserve call. He says there are cases where it's a community working with the Forest Preserve, but not just a community paying for it. But he said that generally speaking, you need the Forest Preserve's involvement to do the initial site study, but also annual after a call so that you know, for example, if it's successful. Because otherwise, in our particular case, we're talking about specific garden complaints. So is it otherwise not successful unless nobody ever complains about the garden anymore? I mean, that's setting us up for failure, because obviously it only takes a couple of deer to damage a garden. So I feel like there's more conversation needed with regard to the forest preserve role or the Illinois Department of Natural Resources or whoever, because have we even talked about the fact that, I mean, he said this is typically a 5 to 10 year commitment financially. You do the initial call and then you do management after that. It seems like we need to be thinking about how are we going to rate success? Because again, we can't rate it on every gardener in River Forest being happy. It has to be on bigger picture things. The Forest Preserve, if they can't afford to do it this year, even with the offer for us to pay for it potentially for free, they're clearly not going to do it the next 5 to 10 years either then. So we're kind of in this situation where we recognize there's a problem and there's certainly community members with a problem, but I feel like we're acting as an independent entity and these other entities have a really important role to play. And I feel like the communication isn't there or the standards aren't there or something's not there. Because I take your point, Joel, that maybe the Forest Preserve does show that there's damage, but they haven't documented anything. So it leaves us in kind of a precarious position as a deer committee. You know, we spend this money and is it successful? We don't even know.
Right. And if I could just, I think I can speak to part of your question. So I did ask him about the permit process and how it's been explained to me and what my understanding is. And what Chris Anker told me from the Forest Preserve District is that the village technically cannot execute the permit. Only the Cook County Forest Preserve can execute the permit as it's been issued by Illinois DNR. But what's critical is that the village, if it chooses to do so, initiates the process and works with both the Forest Preserve and the Illinois DNR. But he said that the permit is issued by the DNR and that the Forest Preserve District actually executes the permit and conducts the hunting. They handle that. So he didn't mention anything to me about any limits as far as when that could happen. He said it just needs to be a decision that's made, you know, with the village and the DNR in conjunction with the Forest Preserve District.
And Catherine, I guess in answer to your question, each year you have to submit a new request for licenses. So that's the documentation that would justify or establish whether or not it's working. So if in this Forest Preserve determined that no more culling was necessary, they wouldn't submit the permit, submit for the licenses, I should say.
But I guess, so you would think that we would just proceed with this without ever having the site properly surveyed and just based on like, we think there are too many deer.
No, I think the problem here is that the knowledge of the Forest Preserve isn't documented, but it's known. As Joel said, so we had the guy, and I forget his name, but the guy that's the head of deer management, who said that there's justification for the survey based on their review of the Forest Preserve. And now Joel said the same thing from the head of all wildlife. So again, I think it's just two different agencies speaking two different things. Tim keeps emphasizing surveys, but Tim, as I understand it, was prepared to issue the permits based on his conversation with the Forest Preserve last year. So again, I can't speak for Tim, I can't speak for the Forest Preserve, but it's my understanding that the Cook County Forest Preserve had sufficient evidence to justify the culling. That's what we were told leading up to last year.
Yeah. It'd just be worth asking. I mean, I just wish we could get them involved, you know, that's all.
Sure, and that's,
do you want to, Kevin,
that's
go ahead.
A fair question. That's a good point.
Does anybody else feel like we're going around in circles? I mean, I feel like we've discussed all this stuff. The first meeting we had, well, I think the reason why the committee was formed is people were saying, well, how do you know there are too many deer? Have you counted? How many is too many? How many is too few? And it's like, we keep going around in circles. I mean, I understood it as well that we paid for this, but it was the Forest Preserve or the IDNR, whoever, that determined what the right amount was. I mean, I just throw it out there. I feel like we've hit on pretty much everything. I do think what the first new thing I've heard tonight was that the evidence in the Forest Preserve and by the mere fact that the deer come so far out of their natural habitat is evidence enough that there's an overpopulation. But other than that, I feel like we're going round and round in circles.
At what point, Tom, educate me please on when can we make a decision on call or no call for this season. I'm not sure if I'm asking for end of this year or early next year, but I do kind of agree. I do not kind of agree with Kathleen. We're going in circles. And I genuinely want to get to a decision point on, you know, if it's education first and then a decision at a point in time after education that we call or don't call, and we decide what kind of criteria that we need in order to make that decision. I personally feel that the survey results were very mixed. I personally feel like it was kind of this like 50-50 or 48-52 or 52-48 kind of either side that you sit on. So I think people answered honestly. I think we got a decent, you know, population of votes. But I feel like it's kind of mixed. So I really want to help drive us to a decision of demonstrative action of what's next, even if it's demonstrative action on education for the next 30 days or 60 days, and then we make a decision of call or not call. You know, I think, Joel, thank you for bringing that information forward. You know, I think the problem is that we kind of come into these meetings after 3 or 4 weeks or months, and we lose kind of sight of the plot of what we've already discussed, and then we kind of try to pick it up. So I think we need to commit to getting to a decision point of action we're going to take in the short term and action we're going to take in the long term. That's my two cents. I think the survey was mixed. I think either side you're sitting on, the survey was kind of 50-50. Yes, people have problems. No, people don't want to do anything about it. Yes, people do want to do something about it, right? Our job is to actually get to a point. And I want to take that job, and it's hard. It sucks, right? Because honestly, we're all at different opinions. Whether or not you're for it or you're against it, right? We're all at different levels of that. So I think we're doing an injustice going in circles. So let's get to some sort of decision point tonight about, we agree that we're either going to call with no education, we're going to get education, and then we're going to call at a certain point. I genuinely believe that. You know, my husband and I spent hours and hours summating all the survey data. And to be honest, John, disagree with me. Everything that we came up with two-dimensional data points was kind of 50-50. There was a few you could sit and debate. I could debate you. I could debate Dawn and say, hey, Dawn, I don't care about gardens. And Dawn could say, hey, Julie, I really care about gardens. We need to get to a point. It's very 50-50. We've been putting it up. Let's get to a decision. Sorry, Dawn, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you guys did a great job. You did a tremendous amount of work. And I think what we can all agree on is that our community needs education. Because these responses, if you read any of these responses, they are clearly, people don't understand the situation. This isn't do you call or not, they have no clue. This isn't just about hostas, or it's not, you know, there's all kinds of real issues and people don't have any clue. You know, they want to pick up the deer and move them. They want to, there's people feeding the deer.
They want birth control.
So we have to do education no matter, we have to do education because people are clueless. I think we can all agree on that.
And Jack, I will totally stop talking, and Dan, I'll stop talking after this sentence. I want to make a proposal. I want to make a recommendation that we agree on a level of education, and then we agree on a date that we're going to decide call or no call and get it very black and white. That is my recommendation coming in tonight. I'm just a direct person. I'm sure you've learned that by now, but I think that's what we've got to get to. What education set do we need? And when are we going to make a decision, call or no call? Or, you know, what kind of timelines are we going to put into place? If we say no call now, it might be call in 6 months. And you know, honestly, we thought we wanted to run this fact base, but I think, you know, we're citizens trying to make a decision on a survey that came out 50-50 with, you know, piecemealing, you know, expert advice together. And so I'm sorry to be so direct and demonstrative, but I just think we're all just at a point where And it's not just like our time is, you know, not valuable or is valuable and we need to move on. I'm just saying we owe it to the community. Let's get to the point. I'm sorry, Jack and Dan, I'm gonna stop.
Jack, I'll let you talk, but just Julie, just to let you know that if you look on the agenda, one of the items is our next step. So it's not as though I don't disagree with you. That my point was to sort of reach a way of wrapping this up.
Yeah, just
and so that's why it wasn't the agenda.
Head on. No, I know, Tom. I'm with you. Like okay, we need to get to a decision.
Hey, Let's Jack.
The problem is, do you hear me?
Jack, we can't hear you.
Do you hear me? Do you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can, Jack.
When you say that 50% of the people don't, the other lady, excuse me, I'm late to the party because I go to Florida. I'm an old man. And so I didn't get the first into one of your committees, et cetera. I just have been around here a long time. But the people who have the problem know the problem. And so it's not a question about them not knowing what they want to do. It's about the people that don't have the problem, they don't know what to do. And I appreciate that. I can only tell you one little thing. Last week, for the first time in 43 years, the deer came and ate bark off of some of my trees. One of them was 25 years old. Mark Kelly says, I've never seen a deer eat anything off but a young tree because it's so soft. All I'm telling you, is that's what happened. So I've got a 25-foot-old magnolia that is being stripped of its bark. Now, that only happens because they don't have any place else to go. I mean, that's a simple situation. So I think when you talk about education, I would say that if we decided that we think, the best solution is to reduce the size of the deer population. And we want to give the people enough chance, and we'll send out questionnaires or whatever you want to do to educate them on all the different problems, fine. But I think you've got to give the board a semi-solution to this problem. Thank you.
Dan?
Yeah, so there's a number of points, right? One is the issue of Joel's, you know, expert advice they talk to. I really feel, throwing doubt on the experts that, oh, we don't have enough evidence. We just didn't hear another statement. I mean, open your eyes. How many times can we say there's too many deer? The experts say too many deers. Does anybody doubt Joel, what he just told us? Does anybody want to raise their hand and say, oh, that's too confusing. It's still a question mark. It's not a question mark, period. All right. We have too many deer and somebody's going to get hurt. There's going to be an accident or something. All right. The other point is education and doing all these things, you know, besides calling. Okay, great. But I talked on these couple of points, right? Increasing fencing, increasing fines. Tom has said the board has no interest in putting penalties towards the good people of River Forest. Okay, we can start arresting these people if you want. And having you call on your neighbor and on the old grandma who feeds the deer and, you know, rip out their plants, that their plants aren't the correct ones that, you know, are recommended. And it's all on our website anyway, right now. If you guys want to take a tour of our website, we can read all the alternatives. It's there. So I would suggest that we be grownups and say, hey, you know what? We got a serious problem. Let's take the corrective action. If you want to do the education and stuff like that and start, you know, telling the police to enforce, you know, feeding deer or, you know, raise the fencing in River Forest or do anything serious besides plant recommendations, or maybe we can pay for people to replant their lawns or, in that case, you know, rip out a 25 a foot tree. There's too many deer. Okay. So, you know, let's be realistic. All right. We got all those options. We can talk about it public, but you know, if you want to start getting neighbor against neighbor, that sometimes government has to take charge and do what's right for the community. And what I would like to focus on is the community survey. I put it in the documents. The people, 50% of the people or 400 of the people that had deer problems. If you want to pull up the chart, we could look at it. Everybody that said they had a deer problem wants action. Wants action. So did everybody get to look at that chart? My question.
I look at it.
I looked at it. The only thing I would say in reaction to that, Dan, is death is permanent. And, you know, I think that there's been no wave of education. I'm not sure which neighbors, I don't want to fight with my neighbors, but I have no idea which neighbors are feeding or not feeding or know or don't know or have a problem or don't have a problem besides who answered the survey. But I don't think that there's been any education. So in the absence of no education, I'm just proposing an educational plan, and death is permanent. So I'm not saying I'm opposed to even culling, because I'm not, but I think it's first things first. And in any good plan, in any solid plan, you have iterations of the first prong of attack is X, and then the second prong of attack is Y. And so that was all that I was trying to get to, is that, you know, death is permanent. So we start down this path, there's, you know, I think there's an and, right? And I think we're all trying to get to the right place.
Okay.
John's been trying to speak for a while. So I'm going to let John speak, and then Kathleen, and then you, Dan.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, first of all, a couple of things. I'm completely with Dan on, we do not need more studies done on the forest preserve. It's very obvious that the deer are well too populated for that forest. That is very obvious. Now, you might be okay with the deer running around the neighborhood. That's completely okay. That's your view, and that's what the survey results. So the survey, are you okay with deer? Yeah, that's yes or no. The survey is not trying to supplement whether we believe there are too many deer in the forest preserve. And clearly the deer wouldn't be in our neighborhoods if they had enough food in the forest. That's very obvious. And Jack and Dan have been saying this over and over and over again, and I think it's very, very strong point. If you don't have a problem, you're not gonna have a problem with, you're not gonna be for culling deer. But the people who do have problems, some of them are pretty severe. We're not talking about just hostas being eaten or bark being eaten. We're, you know, some cases, some people have been profoundly impacted by potentially the too many deer in the neighborhood. That is a big issue. We gotta consider those individuals who are raising these concerns.
Kathleen.
And then lastly, you know, I walk by these deer. I see deer every day, and a lot of them do not look all that healthy. They clearly don't have enough food. You can argue all you want about whether you're for calling or not. And I would say that's fine if you're not for calling, but you can't argue that the forest preserve is a big enough area for the deer in the air, for the deer population. That is clear. They're clearly not. It's not even close to being big enough for the number of deer. And then lastly, Tim from IBNR or the IDNR did mention about the migration of deer. It's virtually non-existent. So if we were to do a 5-year call, it'd be a long time before we'd have this type of population again. So I agree with what Joel said earlier. And thank you very much, Joel, for educating us.
Kathleen, Dan, and then Lori.
Yeah, just a couple thoughts. I think that, you know, Dan, you frame it really well. And you know, the more I think about it, I feel like the point of education is to get everybody to agree with us. And we're just going to have to realize that at the end of the day, not everybody in the village is going to agree with whatever direction we take. And people get heated about this topic. So let's, you know, every decision that the village makes isn't one where every resident needs to be educated on, right? Then nothing would get done if you had to get the buy-in of every resident or majority of residents. So we do believe we have done a significant amount of research on this. We know what the alternatives are. We know what they aren't. The Village of River Forest is tasked with doing what is best for the residents of River Forest, right? And I think we all know a lot of the people that have spoken up are, in some ways, it's less about, it's more about animal rights. And that just opens up a whole different can of worms of, you know, please tell me that they're also protesting the Jewel selling meat. I mean, I don't even know where to go with the, but the deer are, you know, you're going to kill the deer and
well, and we can donate the deer meat.
What?
We can donate the deer meat.
It is. Well,
exactly. People don't believe that. We would donate it to food pantries. You're right, Don. The other thing, you know, we are not insulated from this problem. And I think it was really interesting when in August I was in Colorado and my mom's family's from Colorado. I've gone there every year since I've been born. I've seen a bear in the mountains of Colorado once in my life. This particular trip, we saw bear on three different occasions. And we always go to the same spot. And ironically, in the newspaper, like the Vail Valley News, that week that we were there, there was an article about the overpopulation of deer. It's because of kind of the urban sprawl over, you know, 40 years out there. And they have become such nuisances to people that, you know, there needs to be some sort of human control of the population. So we are not, you know, we're not going out on a limb this far here to say there's an overpopulation of deer and something need to be done. As I understand, the whole committee was formed because a lot of people spoke up at the meeting of, well, how many are there? How many's too many? How many's too few? Can we just come together on a recommendation based on the information that we've, you know, given to the community, asked of the community what we know of, and say, you know, go back to the understanding that we're just not going to make everybody happy with this decision.
Yes, Dan. And no, then I think after Dan is Lori.
Yes, and I think one thing that would be really helpful if we could take a vote and say we all agree there's too many deer and something should be done with it. And then we could go on to your next steps, Julie, of, you know, everything. But I'd really like to pull up that chart so everybody can say the people that are affected truly, truly want action. And if you can't agree to that, I think, you know, we got some serious problems. So if you don't mind, Tom, I'll just be quiet after we say, do we have a deer problem? I'll start. Yes, we do. Too many deer.
You can ask for a consensus of the committee. You can't actually take action because it's not noticed up.
Okay. I'm asking for a concession vote or a raise of hands. Do we have too many deer in River Forest after all the research and studies we've done? Joel, we can't see your hand.
My hand is up.
So is anybody's hand not up, and could they articulate?
The only challenge that I have to that is I don't have actual numbers.
Oh,
and
God.
That's what Dan, don't be disrespectful. We're having a conversation. I need numbers to it. And that's what I'm saying about death is permanent. And I feel like we've come at this situation with there's a deer problem. I do agree with you that there are people that have problems with the deer and that they are real problems and they are very concerning issues for those citizens. I absolutely agree with you there. I'm not disputing that. But the rest of the population either doesn't have a problem or they didn't weigh in. It's one of the two, right? Because not everybody in this entirely weighed in, right? The severity of the deer issues is, the question is it willing, are we willing to take their lives over the problem, or do we need to educate people and enforce different things on our forest preserve folks who are doing nothing? That's my issue. I'm not saying that there aren't deer running rampant in certain areas of this community and that there are causing issues for certain citizens. I'm not disputing you on that. I'm with you on that. My question, go ahead.
Your opinion. I'm sorry. I think the record shows that, do we have a majority or did we have a, did anybody else besides Julie on the committee believe there's not a problem? Okay.
I think the vote was 7-5.
She didn't say there's not a problem, Dan.
Well,
this is a pointless conversation. This
the question. That's a Kiki. The question, do we have a problem of overpopulation in River Forest?
We don't know, Dan. I mean, that's what I pointed out. The irony is that for whatever reason, the Forest Preserve, while they might say something in one sentence to Tom, or on the phone with Joel, has done nothing and put nothing in writing. I don't understand why, if there is such a problem, Tim says that they call every year in multiple communities. They have a budget to call. They call repeatedly every year somewhere. He has never heard of a case where a village went in on their own to pay for this. He said there should be a site survey. They don't seem to be willing to do a site survey. I think that's weird. I don't think it's too much to ask if we're going to pay for the call, that at the very least they demonstrate the population situation. I think that's scientific. I think it's collecting facts. If there was evidence before me that there's a population problem, I would be much more comfortable calling. I see anecdotal evidence. I don't see any real evidence.
Guys, I'm going to ask people guys, I'm going to insist now, stop interrupting each other, okay? We have to do this early because it's a stupid Zoom thing. Lori has been waiting for a long time to speak, so it's Lori's turn.
You know what? I agree. There's a problem, but I am not raising my hand because I don't see it as black and white. I think that we are doing the community of River Forest a great disservice if we don't, when we come to our decisions about recommendations, and I do think we've got to inform people because I think they deserve to know what's going on. And you know something? We will get buy-in from everybody. Of course not, you know, but I don't believe that just going and making these decisions and just letting it lie that way, all it's going to do is enrage people. And I do think that there are different things that we can do. And I don't think it has to be something that says we aren't going to call. I'm totally open to that, but we cannot call until we come to some kind of, it says right here, we're tasked to do some kind of a public forum just so people understand why and how we came to these, you know, I want to say decisions, but it's not totally our recommendations. So that's all I wanted to say.
Ingrid and then Kathleen.
I forgot what I was going to say. I didn't raise my hand because the people that believe that they're, that have had problems, which not believe that the people that have had problems, they have a voice, but the people who are saying that they don't have problems have a voice too. I agree with Julie. I think that something has to be done. And I do believe that there is an overpopulation based on what I've heard tonight. But that doesn't mean that I think that the answer is calling. Just because people have an issue I don't know that I agree with the answer that you're proposing. So I need more information. I need some reason to take that drastic of an action. And I also know that there are people in this community that have beliefs and concerns that I don't have. And not to discredit them, but it's just not a way for me to agree with the end result that you're proposing. So I need more to get to there. And I need to know that everything else has been exhausted before we get to that. So that's, I'm not totally discounting what you're saying, but I'm also saying that half of the population in River Forest is saying they don't have an issue with it and they enjoy seeing the deer. So how can we come to some kind of compromise? That's where we need to, and maybe we decide that we need to call and then the survey never gets done. I don't really know what that is, but we have to figure out how this committee is going to proceed, regardless of whether or not that funds are there for the Forest Preserve to do what they need to do. And it could be a bunch of wasted air that we're doing now, but we have to come to a conclusion somehow.
Kathleen and Jack, but just to clarify, the survey, which I wish they didn't use the word, the survey is not a head count of deer. That was never intended, it's never done. They go off of the condition of the habitat. So I know that people have said they want a head count, but they're not gonna get a head count. They don't do head counts anywhere. It is basically you look at the land and determine based on the condition of the land.
There still hasn't also been an actual report of the damage to the forest, correct?
Because there would have been the report when they submitted the application to the DNR. That's the way they do it. I don't like that, I admit. I'm very disappointed with my forest preserve, but I don't run the forest preserve. The plan was they were going to document the condition of the land sufficient to justify the permits. And I was under the understanding, I haven't talked to Tim in a while, Catherine, but I was understanding at the time when I was voting on this last fall and winter, that the DNR had already pretty much pre-approved that he and the forest preserve guy are in the same building and they talked about it. And he had it was indicated to us. And again, this is all hearsay. And so I don't know if it's any of it's true, but it was indicated to the River Forest Village that the permits would have been approved if we had signed the intergovernmental agreement in January. Again, that's just what I was told when I voted on this. And I trust village staff implicitly. I'm sure they weren't making this stuff up because obviously there would have been consequences for that. So that's the understanding that we had going into that vote last year. There will not be a headcount. I just want to let everyone know that because the headcount would cost a heck of a lot more than the culling. And so if you want a headcount, you're never going to get it. Jack, but there was someone before you, Jack. I think it was Kathleen. Kathleen and then Jack.
But this is what's frustrating to me, with all due respect to all the members on the committee. The question was, do you feel there's an overpopulation of deer? It was not, are you in favor of culling? And I feel like it is a pro-cull, against-cull topic. And nobody wants to admit that, but I think that really is what it is. And if we can't even agree on if there's an overpopulation because you think that's going to mean that we should cull, that's not the case. But if you are honest to say that there's, you know, an anecdotal overpopulation of the deer, which it's exhausting to keep saying, you know, we can't do a count because we've been hearing this for over a year. Why can't we say make it the analogy that if there's an intersection that's dangerous and needs a stop sign, but somebody on the east side of River Forest say never drives that way, well, they don't care about a stop sign over there maybe, or they don't want anything paid for, I don't go over there. Does that mean you're not gonna protect the people that drive through that intersection? I don't understand how we have to act on something like this to benefit the whole village. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of people's properties, lives, whatever, are at risk in some way because of an overpopulation of the deer. And you can't just say because it doesn't affect everybody, doesn't mean it's something that you don't address. And once again, I go back to, you know, death is death. Well, death of what? Death of a deer? Death of a human being from a car accident on Thatcher? I said at the very beginning of the meeting, don't wait for a catastrophic event to happen to say, oh, yeah, maybe we should think about that deer population. They dart out so fast, I don't care how slow you're driving on Thatcher, you could easily hit them and swerve into the other lane. So that's just my frustration on what I hear.
If you have been by Thatcher Woods for 70 years, you would realize in the old days, before we got in the state of Illinois and the population and the politics that go on to it, that they were tending that forest like you couldn't believe it. It used to be a beautiful thing to look at. They used to take some of the dead stuff out of there. And as a result right now, as you look at it, it's pretty sad. And so that's the other problem that deer have, is because the whole thing is not being taken care of like it used to be. The other thing is, if you were to vote, and I lived in an apartment or a condo in River Forest, and you ask me about deer, I would say, God, I just love to see the deer on my walk. Okay, because I live in a condo. I don't happen to live in a condo. I happen to live almost in the forest preserves. Thank you.
Marta and then Catherine. Catherine?
Oh, I thought it was Marta first.
She didn't raise her hand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, is there any reason why we can't just, given that a lot of this, you know, the questions are about the population and Tom, what you said that you thought that it was a done deal last winter, is there any reason we can't just ask the Forest Preserve to put in writing what they would be putting in writing about the population so we can see it? I mean, you said that they won't do a population count, but clearly they're willing to do something, according to Joel's conversation as well, like that they made site assessments or something. I guess I just, it would just be nice to have a, like an official statement in writing from the Forest Preserve. I don't understand why they won't do that. I just find that really odd.
Well, to be honest, I don't believe we asked for that the last time. And I think they believe that their documentation of the need would be on the application for permits. I can certainly
But we'd be the ones paying for it. I mean, I feel like there's a reasonable, you know, ask here of just like, what are they seeing? What is...
Catherine, I'm not opposed to doing it. I just hadn't done it before.
Okay. Well, it just seems like it would resolve some of the outstanding questions, you know, of how bad the overpopulation issue is, if there is one.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Julie, I know you had to go at 8:30.
I do. Yeah.
So next steps, if I understood from earlier, Lori and Catherine, you guys would agree to put together some sort of, Sarah, can you just share that with Catherine?
Yeah.
Sarah just texted me about something that's on our website.
I'm willing to put together some thoughts about gardening, but honestly, not if it's just going to be thrown out the window, which it seems like there's very little interest in this committee in doing anything but culling, like as a committee choice. Is there a sincere interest in some other approaches?
Well, there was five people that don't think we have a problem, so I assume that there is.
Why would you do something if you don't think there's a problem? But
asked me if it was an overpopulation of deer, and I said I don't have any science that shows that. Damn, that doesn't. I acknowledge that people have problems. I said I don't have any information about the population because I don't
believe what they said. Tom will get you the email. But look, we want education. That's great, Catherine. Please, any help would be great. My point is, what you do, you might get like two or three people, but you know It's fine. It's not going to solve the entire issue for all the people that are suffering here in River Forest. Your efforts will be valiant. Go for it. Educate the people about the plants, and I will push we can push the village to get more fencing and, you know, restrictions on, you know, everything. And we can have a hotline number to call on the neighbor who's feeding the deer. I mean, and we can call, you know, start, you know, ratting everybody out.
So wait, Catherine, maybe I misunderstood you. I certainly am not discounting education. Are you saying education as an interim step? So in other words, we try for a year to educate people on the proper way to deal with deer, and then if that doesn't work, revisit the issue? Is that what you mean by education? Because I thought it was just education on how you can help yourself avoid problems with the deer. So everyone's raised their hand. So let me first get to this. I think it was Kathleen, Ingrid, and then Ron, but then Catherine, if you could just answer my question.
I've had my hand up for a while.
Wait, you're asking me what I mean about education? Well,
right.
here's the scenario that I would do if I were the one making the decision here, which obviously I'm not, but if I were, I would put together some sort of matching gardening program. I would address the traffic issues in multiple corners in River Forest, including mine, which is a deer hotspot, and including on Thatcher, especially close to Lake. Then I would perhaps redo the survey in a year and see if the problem still continued. And hopefully in the meantime, maybe the Forest Preserve would actually do a site survey. And if it showed there's a population problem and we weren't able to get into it at all with education programs, traffic programs, and garden programs, then consider a call.
So
That's what I would do if I were the one making the choice, but I'm not.
Well, so. You are, Catherine. You're one of 15 people that are making a recommendation. So.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I would try non-lethal measures first. I mean, that would be my instinct to try.
So you propose those things that you just spoke as an interim step, and then we reassess after that, which is fine. I'm fine with that. But we need to sort of develop that program. Now, admittedly, that's not been our focus. But again, I think to be fair, our focus has been driven by the survey because that's pretty much all that we've done. I don't know if it's been culling, non-culling. It's basically just trying to digest the survey.
That's fine. I'm just answering the question.
But so Catherine, can I ask them that you put together that proposal to present to the committee?
You mean a proposal about a garden program? I'd have to reach out to Good Earth first because it's a funding question.
Right. Well, but you don't have to get that detailed. I mean, I'm not asking you to do that. But you and Lori, is that something you could work on for the next
meeting?
Make a proposal of what we could do.
I'll write it up. I don't mind.
I'm not asking for gardening.
I think we should look at other things. So you know what? When the time comes, we can say that we've really considered all these different options. Because the thing is, say we did cull, deer are going to come back at some point. People need to know what they can do about them for themselves to sort of help, you know, limit. Sorry, the cat keeps trying to jump him.
So a big picture education, just like 35,000 feet. Like,
I mean, I think your idea of the whatever you called it is a great idea, but I don't need you. It's unfair for us to expect you to get in that much detail. That's something the village staff would do. But again, I'm just talking about the source of programs that would be a part of what you would consider to be interim steps.
Yeah, Lori, do you want to work on that with me? Sure.
I had their hand up. So I think, Ron, you had your hand up before Kathleen. So we'll go Ron and Kathleen.
Yeah, you know.
Hand up, Tom. And I have to drop in a few minutes.
All right. Ron, then Julie, Kathleen, sorry.
Okay. We keep talking about doing this site survey. Joel explicitly told us at the beginning of this meeting that in Cook County, they don't even, the deer population is so bad in this area that they wouldn't even waste their money or time to do a site survey. All you need is eyeballs to know that there is a huge problem in River Forest. A site survey is a waste of time. It's a waste of money. Kathleen, you want to readdress this in a year? Are they just going to suddenly disappear in a year? We need to address it now. We're not going to address it a year from now. We're going to address it today. We've been messing around for 5 months. The same questions come in every single meeting. We go round and round. As Kathleen Hughes said, we go round and round and round. Same thing over again. You're filibustering these meetings, and it's ridiculous. Let's make a choice. Let's move on. And talk about education. We can't educate our children right now. And we're going to educate the residents of River Forest on the deer population problems and on planting gardens and where to stop and slow down. I don't think that's going to happen. We got a lot of people that don't live in River Forest that speed right down Thatcher Avenue every morning, every night. I see it. They're going 40, 50 miles an hour down Thatcher. Wait until one, like you said, wait until a human gets killed. We're worried about a deers that are malnourished, that are carrying disease, that have nowhere to go in the forest preserves. I think it's more cruel to have an overpopulation of deers in the forest preserve than it is to cull them. I really do. These deers are suffering tremendously because they don't have anything to eat. They're going into people's scavenging for food. Looking for, they're crossing streets. They're doing, we got to make a decision. We got to move on. We're wasting everybody's time here, honestly. And we're wasting Tom's time. You know, this has to be, there's a decision to be made. I never read, there's 200 pages in this packet you sent out. We have 220 something pages of documents. How much more do we need?
Ryan, let's go. I would say you have the most Christmas card-like background. I congratulate you.
Thank you.
Julie.
I'm sorry, I pushed, I had a meeting and I pushed it. I've got to go in like 30 seconds.
And I apologize for missing it.
No, it's okay. No harm, no foul. Ron, I agree with you. We need to get to a decision here. My proposal was educate for a very short period of time and then agree on a date that we're going to make a call or no call decision. That was my proposal 30 minutes ago.
But Julie, it wouldn't be educate. We make recommendations.
We can't, in my opinion, and I'll let you guys kind of close the meeting, but in my opinion, we are going straight from zero to call. That is how it feels and has felt from day one on the committee. I think we need an interim step to then get to that. If that interim step proves to be successful, awesome. Then we haven't killed animals as a result of it and upset the population that doesn't have a problem. If it doesn't work, then we need to make harder decisions about doing that. I'm very sorry about my dog. But I think that not taking a step in the middle, oh my goodness, is a disservice to not only the animals that have no voice for themselves, but to the rest of the community that, you know, does not feel they want the culling to happen. So I feel like we have a responsibility to try both, but death is permanent. So once we call, the other half of the population has no voice. It's over. If we take the interim step and then we go to calling because the interim step didn't work, then we've kind of, to me, broad brush addressed everybody. And I'm not opposed to that, but so that's what I will say. And I'm very sorry. I don't mean any disrespect hanging up. I let Tom and Sarah know I had to drop. Thank you guys very much. I do appreciate everybody's opinions here. Sorry, I have to drop. Thanks.
Kathleen, John, and then Ingrid.
I do think after further thought that, you know, we do need to make a recommendation and it needs to be based on kind of what we see in the surveys and what we've learned through this process. I think to educate people, you know, with what to plan to simply punting or delaying something, you know, after living here for a year and having everything destroyed, I Googled, you know, deer resistant plants and did a lot of research on it before I was going to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars more on things. And that, you know, didn't do it for me. I think that's only, you know, trying to solve for one piece of the problem that I don't even see as, getting to the root of it. I think this has become an animal rights discussion. And I'm just so befuddled by the fact that we live in a world where a lot of the population consumes meat. I feel like this is like a PETA versus non-PETA thing. And when we, you know, when we talk about death, I mean, and things, people could get very hurt and affected by these deer. So when the deer don't have voices, I think they're beautiful animals. I'm not, you know, someone that's for animal cruelty of any kind, but this is kind of the food chain and they're overpopulated because of the, you know, killing their predators and eliminating their predators. And, you know, we've created an imbalance in nature and maybe we need to rebalance it ourselves.
John?
Yeah, I was gonna bring up the exact same point. This is nothing but an animal rights argument, and that's fine. I can see both sides. My son is a vegan. He argues every day that the deer, they were here before us. What make these properties, you know, the property lines are superficial. They have every right. I can see that argument. I can also see the argument of anyone who is in fact for, you know, the animal rights and, you know, against killing, but yet they're okay going out and eating their hamburger or their steak dinner. I don't understand, you know, unless most of River Forest are vegetarians, which I will say we are in our household, but I'm okay with calling the deer and I'm okay with, donating the meat to the Beyond Hunger food pantry. I think that's a great way to use the meat. It's better than getting, you know, meat from a cow that never saw the light of day. I don't understand the argument. I mean, and I'm all for animal rights as well, but I'm absolutely with Kathleen on this argument. Kathleen Hughes, that is.
Muted.
Interesting.
No. Tom, you're muted.
Tom, are you trying to talk?
I know, Tom's trying to talk.
For some reason, whenever they're hitting the space bar, it was taking my screen away, so I apologize. Hold on, Jack, there was someone before you. Ingrid, thank you.
I just have one question, and I think I know the answer, but culling doesn't mean decimating the entire population of deer in the woods, right? It's just however many the first year, they reassess, however many the second year. Can we have some specifics on that?
Yeah, well, I can tell you what the contract said. I'm back now, okay. Under the contract, the Forest Preserve would seek licenses for up to 50 deer in the first year, but they wouldn't necessarily take 50 deer. They would just get the tags for 50 deer. And then each year after that, they would again be authorized to be up to 50 deer, but based on the assessment of need. So there was no fixed number. Even in the first year, there wasn't a fixed number. It was up to 50, no more than 50, but it could have been less than that, depending on either their ability to get the deer or their assessment of the need.
And the assessment of the need is something that is not being done? That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
Well, again,
what is that assessment of need? The assessment of need is by the Forest Preserve and the IDNR, yes?
Yes. So they would submit a permit. They would submit an application for tags, licenses, to take out deer, and then they would have to justify that request. And then, you know.
But the maximum would be 50 deer.
Each year, yes. The contract was 5 one-year contracts, renewable each year, but renewable at our option. And I believe the Forest Preserve, but don't hold me to that. And they would be the ones to determine how many deer to take out.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Jack, I'm sorry.
The only thing I wanted to say was there are more deer in the United States than when Christopher Columbus or the Plymouth Rock people showed up here, because they had all those other, the tigers, the wolves, you know what I mean, the wolves and all those people, they had predators. They don't have them anymore. So there are more deer here than there were when the Indians were here.
So just so I understand, and so we can hopefully wrap this up tonight. So basically, we're presented with two options, right? I mean, I don't think there's anyone on the committee that believes we shouldn't do anything. Is there anyone that thinks that everything's fine? So the two options are, sorry, Ingrid, are you, so you don't even want to do education?
You asked if anybody thought everything was fine, and I shook my head no.
Oh, okay. no, but I moved on from that, and then I thought you were trying to bring me back. So I think there are basically now two options in front of the committee. The first option would be this interim step that Julie talked about and that Catherine and Lori offered to sort of outline. And that interim step is that we would offer education, address traffic, a whole number of things. All that stuff is on, you know, is currently on the website, just so you know. But it would be more of a focused education program for the village. And then the village would reassess after that. And obviously it's gonna have to be a year, because you can't, you know, doing it for a short period of time does nothing. So I think that's option one, correct? And then option two would be that we sign the intergovernmental agreements and pursue culling. So I think that those are the two options that are presented to us. Does anyone disagree with that?
Tom? Why does it have to be a year? I mean, when I'm thinking of education, I mean, since I actually read most of these, I mean, there's all kinds of crazy. It's not just gardening and traffic signs. We're talking about all the things that we talked about here tonight. How the IDNR sees it, how the Forest Preserve sees it, how all of that stuff.
I always suggested a year because I thought we were going to determine whether or not that interim step was effective. Again, I don't care.
So that interim step is not effective. And that's part of what the education needs to be. No fencing, no hostas are going to stop the deer coming. I mean, Ron already said that. Joel said that. I mean, it's not, that isn't going to stop. Education is to help people understand the problem. It's not a, there is no alternative solution to minimizing a herd.
Catherine.
I just want to clarify. So when you have been saying education, Don, you just mean the education on why we're culling?
The whole process. And that can, yes. And that can also, yeah, because people don't understand. This committee doesn't understand. So why do we expect the village to understand? They don't. So we have to tell them. We have to, Joel, what you just said, that has all got to come out. The IDNR, the Forest Preserve. It all has to come out to the whole community. Now, even when we call, we can't, people still should have a guard, you know, are still gonna have to, I mean, I plant deer resistant, you know, plants. I mean, it doesn't stop the deer from coming in. I have six of them in my backyard. I have it on video all last winter. My backyard was full of poop. I couldn't walk outside. And I have deer resistant plants. So that doesn't stop them. And I had a fence that they jumped over. So that stuff isn't going to change the deer population. So we have to accept that. I know you don't like it, but that's the truth. That is it. And so we have to educate the population, the whole community, on what the real deal is.
Catherine, Sarah just texted or something chatted me that there was a letter from the Forest Preserve on the overabundance of deer. Sarah, can you share that with everybody? Just the link.
Yeah, I'll send it out in an email.
Just so you know, so we actually did get it. I didn't remember because there was a lot of paper, but we actually did get something from the Forest Preserve where they asserted that there was an overabundance of deer. Marta.
I think there are different levels of education. Yes, we need to educate the community on why they're the reasons for a cull, but I also think you need to educate the community on ways to kind of deal with the deer. I also think that if you're going to be giving them information that they should also know, and this is in minutes from, I couldn't tell you what meeting, but one of the reasons that we have not been up for a cull by the Forest Preserve is because, number one, they didn't consider us a priority. And number two, they said that it was too close to a very populated area and it wasn't safe. So those are other things that need to be brought up. It's not just, oh yeah, let's go do this and, you know, pay them to do this. There were reasons that we weren't coming up on their radar because of the proximity to a populated area and how close the Forest Preserve is.
Well, Marta, first of all, the reason that we weren't prioritized is because they didn't have the money. So it's I'm sorry, but I don't mean to interrupt you. But as for the other one, I don't remember that, obviously, and I'll take you for your word, but that confuses me given that we went down the road with them and had all these meetings about doing the culling in the Forest Preserve that is right next door. So again,
If they don't have the money and somebody comes to them and says, hey, you know, we're going to give you $200,000. Yeah, they're going to sign the papers.
I was speaking the issue about it being them not doing it because of the proximity of River Forest. I mean,
I read that somewhere. That's what I remember.
I know, but I mean, for no amount of money would the Forest Preserve imperil. I mean, they're going to do this procedure in a safe way.
I agree with and I haven't said anything all evening. I agree that there needs to be some kind of interim, if only to be transparent and say, yes, we are addressing both the people who want the cull and the people who don't want the cull, because you're going to get a lot of, you know, a lot of bad feedback if you just go directly and the people are going to say, well, did you try anything else? Well, no, we didn't. We just, you know, this is what we said because this is what we wanted to say. I think in good faith, you need to show that we did look at other options and we did try to educate people and we did try to see what else could be done before coming to that final decision. I mean, I have hunters in my family. So, you know, those of you who say, oh, she's a no call or she's a call, you know, my father was a hunter, my uncle's a hunter. You know, I grew up with venison as a kid and as an adult. But I think you need to go to, you know, kind of the proper channels to get things done. And, you know, I'm sorry, Ron, but I took offense when you said, you know, we're not teaching our children. As someone who works in the district and does teach the children, I can assure you we are teaching our children. Thank you.
Okay. Dan?
Tom, your question was about the steps. And I firmly believe we took a rough vote, but I think people, because they might have other views than myself, misunderstood my vote request. I think, Tom, first we got to put on paper that the committee agrees, you know, 100% that there's a deer population problem in River Forest.
And well, I counted 7-5, Dan.
Yeah, we don't agree on that.
Okay, so I think if the vote is there's no problem, then those people that don't believe they're a problem, there should be, you know, no overpopulation, then why would you do any of the education or anything? Okay. So I think we really gotta button that down and call that first and do a form, you know, I did a hand vote. But then you say, okay, all right, the majority of the committee believes there's a population issue, then we go to the next step. What are the corrective actions we should take? And then we can vote, for culling and education, you know, educate, you know, the two-step suggestion or whatever you want to put up on the docket. I think you're going to have to formulate, or somebody's going to have to formulate what we vote on. And
that's what I'm trying to do, Dan.
I strongly urge.
You're next, Ingrid. Then Kathleen.
Yeah, I think it was Ingrid. I forget who said we have to follow through with our mandate, and that was doing some education and having a public forum. And I think we already had the public forum. The guy came from the River Forest County Preserve. He said, you know, it's on videotape. It's on our website. His presentation of, you know, we went back to the too many deer since the Indians and Columbus and all that. He did a great job. It's on the video, but some people don't want to listen to him, right? But let's do another forum, right? And have an expert come in. And if you guys don't want the Cook County expert to do that, well, whatever. Find somebody else, you know, find a PETA member. But I mean, you know, I think we've got to follow through that directive too, right? Of our thing. So let's do that. Let's get that on the docket. Let's figure out that part of our mandate. Okay. And, move forward. And I strongly you have to get this document. We got to show it to Kiki. You know, I just, you know, maybe we have different views, but really it's really hard for me to accept that people don't want to say there's a deer issue.
Ingrid and then Kathleen.
So my first point is, why do we even do the survey if we're just going to go by what the committee's members believe or say? So the survey was to get qualitative evidence to inform us whether the residents of River Forest, you know, perceive or have been affected by the deer. So don't just say, even if 100% of us feel or believe now that there is a deer population issue. you know, I just don't think we can discount the results of the survey. And then also, I agree that there has to be an interim process. We cannot, you know, or maybe we just apply and see what this, what IDNR even says, and because that's going to take time. And we, and in that interim time, we do the education, we find out if people maybe resurvey after the education, and maybe they change their opinions. I don't know. I just cannot just sit here and make a decision representing the whole community when half the people said that they don't think we should kill the deer. And not even half the people that said that there is a problem, not all of them said they want us culled. So we just have to look at the facts and look at what is presented before us. And it may turn out that culling the 50 deer, which doesn't seem like a lot, is the answer, but it just needs to become a unanimous decision, which we're not facing here. So
I don't think we would ever get to unanimity. I mean, if anything.
Well, then we present the report to the village trustees saying we don't have a unanimous decision and let them figure it out. That is what I propose.
Kathleen.
I think that we are trying to get to an unanimous decision, which I agree we will never get to. You know, we are to make a recommendation to the board, which takes into account a couple of things. It takes into account the survey, but it also takes into account the other things that we've hopefully educated ourselves on as members of the committee as what's feasible or not feasible options. This is not a referendum. The survey was not a vote for what people wanted to do. It was one of a couple components by which we are to make a recommendation to the board. And I'd like to propose what we have all been beating around the bush about for almost a year. I think we take a vote as committee members based on what we know from the research done, all the reports that we're going round and round and round and round and round about, and what we have seen in the survey, to take a vote as of right now who is in calling and in favor of calling and who is not.
We can't take that vote right now because it wasn't motioned or wasn't noticed, but I would also like to give Catherine and Lori a chance to put together a rough sketch so that there is a, not a viable alternative, but a concrete alternative. I do think that it'll be premature to have that vote tonight. It's my goal to have that vote at our next meeting, where we will come up with the recommendation that we're gonna make. And then Sarah and I, mostly Sarah, will put together a draft of a report, which will incorporate everything that we've had, everything we've talked about, and along with all the information that's we've been provided, that you guys put together, that'll be what the report will be to the village board. We will distribute it then after we've made the decision. You weigh in with comments. I mean, we'll try and incorporate it, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a document that I hope reflects both the view of those that are opposed to calling and those that are in favor of calling. It'll be as balanced as possible. It's difficult writing for 15 people, but we'll do our best. And obviously, you'll have plenty of time beforehand to weigh in. I'd like to get those comments earlier rather than later. Again, this won't be until our next meeting, but earlier than later so that we can incorporate them. I'm not really sure how, but then the final meeting, so I'm anticipating two more meetings. The final meeting will be an approval of the recommendation report, whatever that report is. So if that's okay with everybody on how to proceed.
I hope we can come to some form of recommendation because we know we're not all going to agree on anything. And I'm almost baffled that people are running on a ticket in the village for the reason that things aren't hashed out enough or that things need to be more transparent and discussed. Because at the end of the day, as we can say over and over, we're just not all going to agree on anything. And I can't imagine what that report is going to look like other than if we were to matter of factually report what is feasible options, what's not feasible options, you know, high level, what the survey said, and then what the members of this committee voted on.
If it's like from my brain to your mouth, that's sort of what I was envisioning too. It's not gonna be detailed. I mean, obviously I will give everyone the option of adding their own dissent or their own concurrence. I don't think it's necessary, but I'm just doing this because there's no other way to organize it.
Is Joel still on?
Yep, yes I am.
And I just, what he said, what you said tonight, I think was just outstanding. And you wrote the whole thing. And all due respect, there are members on this committee who don't want to deal with the facts. They don't want to deal with the IDNR. They don't want to deal with the forest preserve. You guys don't want to deal with what's really going on. And that's unfortunate. And I do feel like it's sort of keeping us hostage of going forward, because there is a problem and we have to do something about it. And Joel, everything that you said tonight, I hope is in the report. Because that is the IDNR, that is the forest preserve, that is everything. And this stuff is all directional. If you guys read these comments, people are all over the place. They have no clue what the issue is.
So is, Dan, one second, just does anyone object to the process that I just proposed? Okay, go ahead, Dan. Ahead, Dan. You're muted, Dan.
Don, if you go back to the data, I put the graphs out there. It clearly says if you had a deer problem, you want action. A lot of people don't want to understand that, but it's there. The survey did its job.
I know. I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
And you know, all the comments, obviously everybody's not educated and everybody's gonna have different opinions and all that.
I'm with you. So,
yeah, it's good. You know, I think we did a really thorough job. I just, you know, and if again, throwing doubt on the experts, you're going to have to show them the Cook County document. I encourage you to get an email from these people to show, you know, Kiki, I respect your opinions, but we'll get you some written proof of documentation of, you know, the forest is decimated. I know what, you know, I'm not an expert, but I mean, I walk them, you know, I just...
Get the notes.
No, but if people want to say there's no issue with deer, and there's no issue with the forest, and there's no issues at all, I think we got to document that, Tom. And again, I'll go back to the point. We have to have a vote. Is there an issue or not? And then we can vote, you know, what to do about it. Okay?
Just so everyone knows, Sarah emailed to you a letter from the Forest Preserve where they outlined the issue from their perspective. Just so that was actually on the website, the village's website. Catherine.
Well, I just, since if it's the same thing that was on there before, just to clarify, since I'm the one who spoke to Tim on Friday, he said normally the normal procedure is a site survey. He said the reason they can't do a site survey now is all the plants are obviously don't have the leaves anymore. So that was why he talked about the fact that it would have to delay. There's a normal procedure to this. This isn't my opinion. I knew nothing about this. I asked him, based on what we voted, if we could do a call this year, if that's what we decided to do. And he said, I don't believe they've done a site survey. So I don't think he's talking about one sentence or something in a phone conversation. It sounds like there's a process here. And again, I don't know the process, but that is coming from him. That's not my personal opinion. I thought it would be useful to see a site survey if they chose to do one. And they normally do, but in this case, it seems they haven't.
Catherine, again, what the plan was last year, the site survey would be their description of the conditions of the forest on their application. There is no document in the Forest Preserve right now that says that Thatcher Woods is at this whatever. It is in the collective, the corporate wisdom of the Forest Preserve. I wish there was a different way, but that's...
I'm just saying that's not the norm. He said that that's normally they would do a survey, and it seems like they're not. So I'm just pointing that out.
And Joel, you said something completely different.
Well, he talked to a different person. He talked to the Forest Preserve.
So who are we to believe that? I mean, then why are... You know, what you're saying seems to be taking over the whole meeting as opposed to what Joel was saying.
Okay, guys, let's. So,
right.
Catherine and Lori, how much time would you guys like to put together the sort of 30,000 foot, and I hate that term?
It's got to be very minimal, because again, I just get so, like, I get a vibe from half the people on this committee that they just honestly have no interest in this. So I don't want to waste time, but I do want to present what would a group that wanted to do this in stages would do. So I think we could do it in a week. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I think we should do it.
It's going to be very high line.
I have this. I can't do it this week, but we'll talk later and just get it.
Yeah, I mean, give yourself that. Don't have to work over the holidays. So
yeah. Well, no, just whatever the next meeting is. I mean, I'm talking about like a one pager at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we've got people who don't even like want to look at it, I just don't know. I don't want to. Well, like I said, I don't want to waste my time.
Committee. I'm doing it. Do you know what? Honestly, I'm doing it for our community. Because this isn't just about us. We represent our community. And I think we're doing a great disservice by not allowing them and respecting their, you know, maybe they would like to know this stuff. So I think at the end of the day, if we end up calling, and it's very possible it'll happen, but at least we know that we gave all the facts. And it wasn't like one group just said, this is what we're doing and go straight into doing that, because that's just not respecting half of our community. You know, so that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying we aren't going to call, and I'm not saying we don't have a problem. Clearly, there are issues. But let's do it the right way. That's all I'm saying.
Dan Ingrid was next. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was just saying that. I was just going to say that I agree, and I would like to see that. I think that it is worth spending a little bit of time. Don't go nuts. The website does need to be revamped. I've lived here 20 years and I didn't even know that was on that education or that information was available. And I've looked at it since being on the committee and it's very outdated. So just
I'm supporting it. I think it's only been up since we started addressing. So I think it's been up for less than a year.
No, so it was there before, but it's old.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I would suggest, you know, that could be the start of something. Like I said, we have to fulfill our community, you know, forum, but then we could do maybe something with the park district. I mean, because the people that are really affected, they're the ones that are going to be interested in this stuff. I hate to go back to that, but they're the ones that we're trying to help. So if you're going to do the education, which will appeal to some people, do it like a, you know, where they can sign up for a park district class or do a seminar once a year, an annual seminar, where they can really dig deep and get those resources. Because like Kiki, planting a garden, you did it yourself, but it takes a lot. I saw, you know, my neighbor struggle with this, all these fences and, you know, all these different, you know, sprays, you know, it's really complicated. You know, so that's what I would suggest. And I don't hate. I want like that word. I dislike the fact that you'd be disheartened to do an effort like that from our passion on, you know, that my words particularly that say a lot of people just have so much more on their minds than that. So I would suggest appeal to the people that want to focus on that. So I hope that gives some insight or help.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Can everyone check out their calendars?
Yeah, he's just asking us to check our own calendars for the next meeting date.
All right. Tuesdays are normally free, right? Does the 12th or the 19th work for anyone? Or does it not, better put, does the 19th not work for anyone?
19th of what?
January.
I'll be in Florida, but I'll listen to you.
Okay. Anyone else? And so the goal of that meeting is to basically come to a resolution, okay? And then we'll prepare a report, and then in February we'll vote on the report.
So meaning that are we voting call or not call on the 19th, or is that
we're voting on an approach? So it's going to, I mean, it could be the education, what I call the interim step. It could be calling, it could be do nothing. I mean, at the end of the day, it's whatever the committee votes for.
Can we invite that Chris Arnold and Tim Pruce to both be at that meeting?
We can try.
I would love that if they could speak before the vote. That'd be great. get the experts.
Joel, would you mind reaching out to that guy?
Sure, I can reach out to Chris Anker. And Tom, real quick, my own view is perhaps to do both.
Right.
To call, educate, and you know, I've got four conifers on my property. They've been caged for years. I net all my bushes. I can talk extensively about what you got to do to prevent your vegetation. You know, that's all fine. But is that another option that could be considered, Tom?
Sure. I was just talking about.
No, that's
of course, fine. Joel. I mean, we can always do that irrespective of how we vote on the. We can always educate people and offer suggestions on how to deal with it, irrespective of what we do. I mean, I'm just talking about more the decision on calling.
Okay.
Got and it seems as though the two sort of proposals are, again, an interim period where we attempt to vigorously educate people and see if it solves the problem. And then there's only kind of created a second committee, a new committee to go through this again to determine whether or not culling is necessary. Or the recommendation of the committee is that we recommend culling now. Hey, Dawn, I know what you're going to say, but I'm trying to tee up the issue. I'm not, Dawn, you're muted. Dawn, you're muted.
I am muted. I don't think that that's framing the issue right. I mean, we're not, you know, putting education out there because we think it's going to solve the problem. We know it's not going to solve the problem, but we also agree. I agree that we need education, and that should happen anyways. I mean, I don't think that that's framing it right. I don't think that we do need to have education for a lot of things on this issue. But that doesn't mean we don't call or not, you know, you have to have both. I think I agree with Joel. We have to have both. I mean, just education will not reduce the herd, and we can, and the professionals will tell us that.
I think there are some members of the committee though that believe that we should try that before we call. And that's just what I was trying to represent.
Okay. But it's
so, you are entitled to disagree. I'm just saying, I'm trying to frame what the vote will be. And as I listen to everyone, it seems to me that there are two schools here. One is that we should recommend culling. The other one is that we should take an interim step, see what other measures we can do short of culling that may solve the problem. Dawn, you can believe all you want that it's not gonna solve the problem, but I'm trying to represent all of you of the members of this committee. So that's why I framed it that way. If anyone disagrees with me, that's fine. But that's, I understand the point you're making. You don't believe education will work alone. I understand that. What I'm trying to say is I think that there are some people.
But I do think we need education.
Right, I agree with that completely. But
yeah, I don't want, you know, anyone to think that I don't think there should be education. I agree that we need to be educated. Absolutely.
That's why I was referring to the alternate proposal as an interim step. Yeah. So in other words, education, I think we all agree that we're talking over each other.
Yeah, I know. Not a year. We're not going to wait another year. Oh my God, the community will go crazy if we propose that.
Well, it'd be a lot of fun if we meet every 3 weeks for the next year.
I'm off the board in April.
We need to
imagine why
you'd
want it to end.
No.
But no, Tom, I think that makes sense. I think that's, everyone said tonight is we all agreed everything is not fine with the deer. So, you know, we either go to do, you know, education and see what happens and maybe reevaluate later or vote to call now.
Dan?
I'm muted.
You're good now.
I'm good now. You can hear me. Okay. Again, I hate to be the point, but if we have people that are going to say there's no problem, I think we have to get that on record first. Because if you have no problem, then why would you vote to do any education or anything? Okay. So again, it's a really, I think we have to have that vote, because if you're going to say there's no problem, what's your end game? Right?
There's no problem. There's no need for an end game.
Exactly. So then we got to say this many people that voted for whatever say that they believe there's no problem. So let's get that fact on paper.
to what end, Dan? I don't understand why we need to take that.
Because then when the board looks at it, they'll say, okay, these people voted for this, these people voted for this, but they really believe there's no problem at all.
And they're certainly entitled to their opinion. I mean, we can't force them to accept the belief that there's a problem if they don't think there's a problem. I mean, it may well be the people that don't
think. I think it's important that they acknowledge that there's no problem. I mean, if that's after we looked at all this information, if there's people on the committee that say there's no problem with deer, we should let their voices be heard.
Yeah.
I just had one question that I had forgotten about until now, but back to the sort of untraditional role that the village would play here. When you guys got close to this process last winter, did you talk to cover any legal issues regarding things like you had mentioned, the safety of the call, you know, things like that? I mean, if we're dealing with a situation where usually the village wouldn't pay for this, it's on forest preserve land, what if anything were to go wrong? I'm just curious if that was ever covered before, and if not, if there would be anybody who could counsel the village on that before you took a vote, or was that something you'd look into once we made a recommendation?
The village attorney reviewed the intergovernmental agreement. If I remember correctly, there was an indemnification clause in it that would protect the village. Obviously, we are not going to put we would never have put the village at legal risk.
So you did talk to your lawyer, looked at it before?
The village's lawyer, yes.
Okay, good.
So does the 19th work?
Yes.
7:30 again? Joel, if you could let me know if you're able to get the Forest Preserve guy there, I'd appreciate it. Now I'll call Tim or Catherine.
You bet.
And Catherine, if you want to call Tim, you can, or I can give him a call. You're muted, Catherine.
If it's up to you, if you want to catch up with him anyway, you're welcome to. Otherwise, I will. I mean, it's not like I'm buddies with him. I just asked him a bunch of questions.
I'll give him a call.
Okay.
Sarah, can you do me a favor and check with Annette and I mean, we're not going to change it. The 19th is sort of set now, but let Annette and Julie know.
Yeah, I'll send out a meeting invite when we're finished here.
Anything else from anyone? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Hey, Tom, real quick. I'm sorry. Just as a note for everyone. So if the meeting is going to be on the 19th, then I just need information for the packet, any materials you'd like to be included by the 14th end of the day. So that would be Thursday, the 14th.
Okay. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
To adjourn.
To adjourn.
Can I get a second?
Second to adjourn.
Okay. Call the roll, please.
Okay. Tom Cargi.
Yes.
Dan Hollenbach.
Yes.
Kathleen Hughes.
Yes.
Don Mizgala.
Yes.
Ron Lamar.
Yes.
John Rieger.
Yes, but on the condition that Dan makes his point again. Yes, sorry. You don't have to, Dan.
Under Robert's rules, John, that's one of those things you can't condition your vote.
Yes, forget about my joke.
Annette is absent. Ingrid Liu?
Yes.
Catherine Christmas?
Yes.
Joel Luking?
Yes.
Lori Gillard?
Yes.
Jack Flynn is left. Julie Armstrong has left. Marta Kosberg.
Yes.
Okay.